All right, here we go. Let's learn from the book of Malachi. It's always good to have people who serve the Lord, pastors with us. Pastor and your wife, good to have you today with us. Thank you. You're right on the front row. If I screw this up, you let me know. All right, good to have you today. God bless you. Love. You can express it or silence it. We laid out the foundation last week for this book of Malachi. I've studied the book of Malachi before. It's the last book in the Old Testament. And I saw something I'd never seen before. And maybe I saw it because I've gone through some pain. I've gone through some valleys. And we learn when we go through situations. And we see things we never saw before. And so maybe that's why I saw it this time around as I was looking at the book of Malachi. Because we've had Valentine's Day. And I would have liked to have done something on love. And wow, the book of Malachi. Crazy. Why choose that book? Well, I saw something in it, and I'm trying to share it with you. So love, I've called it love, express it, or silence it. So last book in the Old Testament. Between the last book in the Old Testament and the New Testament or the New Covenant or the time when Christ was coming and would be born was about 400 years of silence. Okay? Silence. The last book in the Old Testament is a book where God's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, and they would not listen. And there was 400 years of silence. And many of the Jewish people today still live in silence. They don't hear God's love. And they don't know that God loves them. Matter of fact, per capita, they tell us that of a race of people, there are more atheists who are Jewish than any other race. And yet they're God's chosen people. Love has been silenced. Did you hear me? Yes or no? You've known people. Maybe you're one of them. You can't love again. You loved once. It hurts you so bad, you won't do it again. I won't do it again. Know people like that? I was at McDonald's not long ago, and I didn't know the man, but he looked at me, and I'd seen him in there many times, said hello, hello, but he, you know, people can hear you, especially when you're as loud as I am. And they get to know you even though they don't know you. And one day this man came up to me after I remarried, and he said, I'm proud of you. I didn't even know the man. He said, I'm proud of you. You did something I could never do. And he was saying it like he wished he had of. But now he's old. Silence. Love. You can express it. Are you listening or not? Or you can silence it. Let's go now with the message. Come on. Here we go. Look at that pretty heart. But boy, that thing is broken, ain't it? Say, it's cracked right down the middle. Somebody said, I quit and threw that thing on the ground, didn't they? Come on. There's no quit in love. That's what I want to talk about today from the book of Malachi. We want to confront neglect, laziness, and what? Selfishness in relationships. So let's roll with it. Here we go, Raj. I'm ready, brother. Come on. The name Malachi, quick review, means, say it with me, my what? Or my communicator. My communicator. So the last book in the Old Testament, God has a man. His name is my messenger, my communicator. He's trying to get a message across, but they won't hear it. And they silence God. He's trying to communicate His love for the children of Israel. Love is all about what? Say it with me. One more time. Boy, y'all got to help me a little louder. Come on. Love is all about what? And one more time, love is all about, okay? Well, I don't like to talk. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have a hard time in a relationship. You hear me, yes or no? I don't like to listen. Well, you're going to have a hard time. Love is about what? Or I don't know how to express my feelings. Well, you're going to need to learn how to do that better because you're going to have a hard time in relationship. Is that true or false? It's true. Love's about communication. Okay, it breaks down when there's breakdown in communication. So love, we can express it or we can silence it. We're getting somewhere, but we're still covering a little ground. Last week, we discovered in the first message, say it with me, there is no what? No fear in love. There's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. There should be no fear in love. Fear, what does fear do? Fear produces this. It produces skepticism. My word. Skepticism. I don't know. If you're in a love relationship and you start being skeptical, skeptical about your own love, your own feelings, your own belief in that relationship, the breakdown is starting. And as a counselor, I hear this all the time. Skepticism, I don't know. How about this one? Skepticism then leads to what? Doubt. Doubting your own feelings. I don't feel anymore. Well, I just, you know, back when I felt, now I don't feel. And also, if you're on the other end of that, you talk about fear, man. It's to be married. Be married to somebody, and you're skeptical if they love you. You're skeptical if they feel for you anymore. Boy, and you doubt that. That's hard, isn't it? Say, do you hear the word fear? You feel the fear in that? Yes or no? So there's no fear in love. And the key to that is communicating. And we're going to talk about it more and more over the next couple of weeks. But in communicating, that's the message here. God was trying to communicate. Fear. It is the beginning of the breakdown and ultimate leads to the what? Silencing of love. When you're skeptical, when you doubt, it's the beginning of the breakdown. And we want to fight back. And that's what this message is today. This is a fight back message. Got it? Yes or no? I'm going to fight. Boy, y'all still quiet there. Y'all don't sound like we're in no boxing match yet. All right? But we're going to fight. Here we go. No quit in love. There, say that with me. There's no what? Quit in love. One more time. There's no what? Quit in love. You don't quit. Did you hear me? Okay? That's what I'm talking about. Don't quit loving. Let's go with it. Confront rather than quit. Why not get off your rear end? How about it? And let's confront neglect, laziness, and selfishness from the book of Malachi. Pastor, you all right? All right, here we go. Come on. Back to Malachi. Here we go. Let's go back to the book of Malachi. Just a different look altogether that I saw in this little book. That's the beauty of the Word of God. Amen? Come on. So here we go. Here's how this message is going to go today. I'm going to read the Scripture, then we're going to make a point. And there's going to be 3 points. There's no poem at the end, though. Here we go. A son honors his father. We did 1 through 5 last week. A son honors his father, God speaking, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, God speaking to his children Israel, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Or where is my the respect you're supposed to have for me? Says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that what? Despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? Keep going. Well, God does this. He's good at asking questions and answering them real quick. Well, I tell you how. You offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. We're going to talk about it. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is that not evil? If you offer the lame, an old little sick little lamb, is that not evil? God says this, try to offer that to the governor. See how he likes it. See if he'll be pleased with you or accept your person, says the Lord of hosts. Did you hear the Scripture? Is God like a little ticked off? Oh, yeah. Whole book's about I love you. But they're skeptical about it. We talked about that last week. They doubt it. And they're silencing God. And their actions went on to silence His love. How about in relationship? Relationship with God, relationship with others. Number one, neglect. You know what neglect says to me? I don't care. Say that with me. Neglect says, one more time, neglect says what? One more time, neglect says, I don't care. There's your skeptical and then you're doubting and you don't feel. And don't be surprised if on the heels of you don't feel is I don't care anymore. Do you hear me? And neglecting the things that you used to do. Neglect is a lack of respect and honor. When you neglect God, when you neglect the person you love, when you neglect your children, It's disrespectful. Did you hear me? You neglect friends. Listen, you know what neglect is? It's a form of despising. This is what God calls it. Matter of fact, God says right in His Word that neglect is a form of pollution. You want to pollute your marriage relationship? Neglect it. Did you hear me? That's what God is saying. That's what they had done with Him. They had polluted the relationship that He had with them. And it is what? A big old word. You might not know what it means. We're going to look at it. It is what? Contemptible. What does that mean? Contemptible. It is a defiance based on someone feeling that they're superior. So often we neglect God because we think we don't need Him. We neglect in relationship the husband or the wife because we feel superior and they're inferior. Are you hearing me? Buddy, there ain't nothing good at all in this mess. Right here. Contemptible. You know what God said in this passage? Try that on the governor or the judge. Try that. Let's see if it works. Does it work on God? It doesn't work in relationship. If you try that on the governor or the judge, he won't be pleased. He won't accept you. And matter of fact, you hear this all the time. He will hold you in what? Contempt of what? And lock your butt up in jail. He'll throw you in the slammer. Let you think about how superior you are as you're sitting in that hole. Yes or no? Absolutely. Neglect in relationship. Neglect. I don't care. You know what God says? The governor won't be pleased. I won't be pleased. Look at verse 10. Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle. I think it's interesting here. Do you kindle fire on my altar for naught? We talk about in marriage sort of rekindling that fire. Don't neglect that. Keep that fire kindled. Is that true? Yes, sir. Sure it is. Absolutely. Kindle that fire. What's interesting, I just thought that was interesting as I'm looking at this book from a love perspective right now. Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, God says. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering from your hand anymore. You've neglected me. You've polluted me. You understand? Is that making sense in relationship or did I lose you this morning? Yes or no? Did we get the message so far? Okay. So, we've seen several things in the last 2 weeks. Last week, skepticism. I don't know. Doubt. I don't feel. We just added to that rung on the ladder, neglect. I don't what? Care. There's no quit in love. There's no quit in love. We're not to neglect. Neglect is disrespect to God. Neglect is disrespect. You can think what you want to about your relationship with God, but if you're neglecting God, and you just fill in the blank, I'll let your mind go wilder. You just neglect God. Let me tell you something. It is disrespectful to God. Neglect is a pollution to anyone that we say we love. Neglect is pollution to anyone we say we love. If we neglect people that we say we love, we are polluting that relationship with that person. Yes or no? Neglect. Yeah, love is work, isn't it? Say, yeah, having a relationship is a privilege. It is an honor to have somebody care for you. And to neglect that is a pollution to those people. Okay? Neglect silences love. Didn't it just silence? It silenced the room this morning, didn't it? All of a sudden, y'all went, guys, I'm not picking on you. I'm just preaching. I'm just telling the truth. This is the truth. Neglect will silence love. You keep neglecting the person in your life, and you'll come see me in a few years and say, Gary, it sure enough happened. Neglect, neglect, neglect. Silence is love. But here's the beauty. Care, respect, honor, and humility does what? Let's look at it again. Care, I do care. Respect, honor, and humility does what? Isn't that the truth? When someone cares for you, they respect you, It says in the Scriptures, you know, husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It also says prior to that, wives, see that you reverence or respect your husband. It's amazing, you know, when you're respected, you don't feel like you're being neglected. Okay? No quit in love. Now, let's read some Scripture. We're going to make point number two. You made it through that one pretty good, but it's fixing to get ugly. That was the easy one. Because that's the breakdown. Skeptical, doubt, neglect. Obviously, it's getting worse, isn't it? It's going to get worse. Verse 11. From the rising of the sun, God speaking, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles in every place. Among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts. In this little prophecy. Verse 12. But you profaned it. Oh, my name will be great one day. And is God's name great today? Yes or no? Jesus came. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's name is great. Hallelujah. But you know what God says? But you profaned it. In that you say, the table of the Lord is what? Polluted. And the fruit thereof, even his meat, is what? See, they looked at the table, they looked at what they were doing, and they felt, why, this is pitiful. Why are we even doing this? We're better than this. We're superior to what we're doing. And you said also, say this with me, behold, what a what? Say that. Weariness. Can we do that? Behold, what a weariness it is. You feel quit right there or not? I felt quit when I was reading the Bible. I'm feeling it. You say, behold, what a weariness it is. Whiners. Behold, what a weariness it is. And you've well, look at this word. You don't see this much in the Bible. And you've what? Snuffed at it. God is ticked off right here. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've read the Bible enough. Now I know when God's mad. You say, oh, listen. The table that I said you should do, you're saying that you're superior to what I'm asking you to do. And you're saying, oh, what a weariness it is. And now you're sticking your nose up in my face. God is not happy. Says the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn. The offering you're bringing to me is so pathetic, God says. It's lame. You're bringing the sick animals to me. That is your best to offer me? Are you feeling it? Woo! Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, says the Lord? Keep looking. Went to Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. Same kind of thinking. God speaking, your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? You have said, say this part with me, it is what? To what? Quit. See that? Do you feel quit again? Say. It's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we've kept His ordinance and that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Wow. Point number one was neglect. I don't care. Point number two, can you say that with me? I don't. Now, these are my words. It might not sound good, but it's right. Laziness, I don't what? Laziness, I don't what? I don't do that. I don't do that. Laziness. We're talking about relationship with God, and I'm trying at the same time to show how this affects our relationships. We're made in the image of God. God feels, we feel. So our relationship with Him, but also our relationship with others. So we're covering two things here, and I hope you're not missing it. Laziness, I don't do. What is laziness I don't do? From these Scriptures and from my perspective, it's a lack of serving. A laziness is a lack of serving. It can be a lack of serving God, but it can also be a lack of serving the one you love. Did y'all hear me or not? Well, they serve me, but you don't serve them. What's up with that? That's not a relationship. That's craziness. Laziness. It's a lack of serving. It's also a lack of sincerity. When we're lazy in our relationships, it just shows we're really not sincere. Y'all hear me? I mean, y'all you can't believe you got up for this, can you? Laziness to me is this. It's doing very little but expecting very much. Most lazy people I've met in my life, that's how they function. They do very little, but oh, they expect a lot. We call people like that a lazy bum. Say, amen or not? Say, come on! Yeah, amen is right. Lazy, but what can you do for me? Or what have you done for me lately? I know I ain't done nothing, but you know, hey, look at me. I'm going to tell you right now, that didn't fly with God. I don't fly with God at all. Okay? See, God thinks He's great. God thinks He's awesome. God thinks He's holy. God thinks He's everything. And He is. And He thinks you should serve Him, and you should. See, there's no middle ground there when you get around to it. God's like, well, you know what? You're going to see what He says. It gets ugly right here. And remember when I say what I'm about to say in a minute, I didn't say it, God said it. Laziness. Again, my definition is a half-hearted, pitiful effort. And we wonder why our relationship is no good. Why we're struggling. Well, you're half-hearted and you're pitiful at it. That's what you look at you. You know, you're not even trying. Amen. Here we go. God screams to us His love. There's no way you can read the Bible. There's no way you can see what Jesus did on the cross and not say that's not God screaming at us, His love. Wow, He even screamed on the cross. It is what? Peter! He just screamed His love to us. And we silence Him with insincere, half-hearted what? Service. Maybe there's somebody in a relationship, you're here today, and that person has been screaming their love to you, showing it, and you've just been lazy, lazy, not hearing it, not appreciating it. And most lazy people I know too don't appreciate stuff. You hear me, yes or no? Okay, laziness. Now, here's where it gets ugly. Well, what's God going to do about this? How's God feel about laziness in a relationship with Him? Oh, He's okay. You'll be fine. Uh-oh. Get ready to hear some Old Testament Bible. If you will not hear, this is God speaking, and if you will not lay it to heart, if you will not listen and put it in your heart what I'm telling you to give glory unto my name, says the Lord, I will even send a what? I'll send a curse upon you. I will curse your what? Boy, that is, you don't see that often in the Bible, that line right there. I will curse your what? I will curse your what? Blessings, God says. Yea, I've cursed them already. Because you don't lay it to heart. You already cursed and don't even know it. See, that silence had already begun. God's talking to him and already hushed up. 400 years, and even to this very day, many of His own people can't hear Him. It's pretty serious. It goes on, verse 3 gets really ugly. Keep this in mind on just not those people. Keep this in mind on us, our relationship with God. But keep it in mind on the relationship with somebody that you love. Whatever. This sort of gets a little ugly right here. Verse 3. You have to. It's in the Bible. Here's what God says. Because of your laziness, because of what you've done, I'll corrupt your seed and I'll spread dung. Here's another word for it. Crap. And that's me being nice. I'll spread dung or crap upon your face. God's pretty serious about us serving Him. Did you hear that? You know what he's basically saying. I'll rub your face in it. Why am I preaching like this today? Well, it's in the book of Malachi. It's in the Bible. But I wanted to see it from a little different perspective. I also wanted to see it in my own relationship with people in my life. And so, when I'm neglectful and I'm doubtful and I'm lazy, it's no wonder I got a mess. Say, don't we say that? Say, we got a mess now. Yeah, you do. He goes on to say even this. Even the dung, and I hate to use it again, but I'm saying again, even the dung or the crap of your solemn feast. Your religion, your religious exercise. God says, I'm going to tell you something right now. You know what? That's full of bull too. Do you hear the language? You wonder where these terms came from, like full of bull and stuff like that. I think a lot of them came from the Bible. You know what I mean? As I'm reading the Bible, I'm going, wow, okay, I get that. Anyway, and one shall take you away with it. Guys, I don't know. I told you, this is the kind of message you'd hear back home in the South. Here we go. You're departed out of the way. You've caused many to stumble. God's not pleased. You've caused many to stumble. You've corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I made you contemptible. I've made you contemptible and base before all the people. According as you have not kept my ways, but you've been partial in the law. You've kept what you want to keep. See, because you're superior, and I don't really matter, God says. You just do what you want to do. And so, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You've silenced me. And this whole book started out as, I love you. Did it start out that way yesterday? Y'all remember? It starts out verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. But they silenced his love. What did I learn in point 2? Laziness does what? Do you think there's any good thing that laziness can be said for in a relationship? Say, unless you're laying on a beach with each other. That's about the only thing. I mean, I'm serious. Is it good to be lazy in relationship? Yes or no? Is it profitable? It's no good, guys. No. And honestly, going through the motions with God is honestly, it's no good. It doesn't do you any good. We half-heartedly go through a relationship with God and somehow think we're going to go to heaven. You don't go to heaven that way anyway. You go to heaven because of Christ. He gave His Son for you. He loved you first. But to serve Him, half-hearted, lazy, it's just no good in it, guys. That's what He's saying here. So, laziness silences love, but say this with me. Wholehearted, sincere service does what? Wholehearted, sincere serving in my relationship does what? Yeah. It's not like, yeah, you do for me, you do for me, you do for me, you do for me. How about you do for me, I do for you, I do for you, you do for me, you do for me, I do for you, I do for you, you do for me. And we just doing things together. How about that? Hey, by the way, I haven't always known what I'm preaching. I'm learning. I'm in a new relationship. I'm also not 19 or 20. I'm 51. I picked up some wisdom along the way. It's good, ain't it? Come on, thank God for that. Some of you still wonder, yeah, but you still ain't got a lot. I mean, I hear you out there. I know. I see your snickers. Come on, I hear you out there laughing at me. Yeah, huh? Here we go. So, what have we learned so far? Back it up. The breakdown of love starts with skepticism, I don't know. Then it's doubt, I don't feel. Then it's neglect. That's where the quit starts. Neglect. I don't care. Then we just saw laziness. I don't what? Do. Last one. Now, this is the passage of Scripture that most people, when they think of the book of Malachi, remember. Right, preacher? Let's read it. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. God speaking. But here they are answering his questions again with a question. Wherein have we robbed you? God's pipes right back up in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have what? Even this whole nation, all of you have robbed me. God started out this book, I love you, I have loved you, and it ends up bad. What's the next point? And we're done with this message after this point. Neglect. What was the next one? Laziness. And now, selfishness. What's the purpose of this message today, Pastor? It's to confront these things. Don't you think that's what we've been doing? We ain't been patting them on the head. Ooh, nice little lazy thing. No, we've been hitting it upside the head. We're confronting it. Selfishness. You know what selfishness says to me? My words here, I don't give. It's sort of like laziness, I don't do. But it's selfishness is another breakdown in relationship. I don't give. Selfishness is acting, say it with me, or thinking of what? Myself. How do you think that relationship's going to go? Say, south? Oh, yeah. That's what selfishness is. It is putting myself what? How does that work in relationship? Good or bad? Doesn't work too good. I don't recommend trying that on God either. See, we're created in His image and His likeness. I mean, God knows all about relationship. He's relational. So when we try this on maybe a person we're married to or our kids or friends or whatever, we try this on God, I'm going to tell you something, it's not going to fly. Selfishness. There's nothing good about selfishness. I'm not going to take a long time talking about it because I think we understand this one pretty clearly. Selfishness steals. Selfishness steals. It does not give. A selfish person steals. If you're selfish in relationship, you are stealing from that relationship. You're not putting into the relationship. You're doing what? You're taking from that relationship. You're not giving in, so therefore you are doing what? You're stealing. You're taking from that relationship without putting back in. God says in His relationship with us, when we don't give to Him after He's given what He's given, you're a thief. You've robbed me. I'm giving to you, and I've blessed you. And I think people in America, we're going to be held accountable, numero number one. We're blessed more than any nation on this planet. Any nation on this planet. Yet we whine, excuse make, and listen, God has blessed us. Most of you have a house that you get to go to, a car, several cars you drive. You got multiple layers of clothing that you can put on. A lot of people don't have any of that. Cupboards full of food. God is not happy with us. Amen. Say, we want to blame it on the president. Let me tell you something. It starts in the house of God. I believe that with my whole heart. Now go hit myself again. Gosh. I believe it, man. Come on. Selfishness steals. It does not give. Selfishness is what? It's cursed of God. If you're selfish in your relationship, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're selfish inside your relationships, you are cursed. You are cursed. You ain't never going to get it right. You can read every book you want to read. But if you're selfish, you are cursed. You have a curse on you. That's a hard message today. But that's who you are. If you're a selfish person inside of a relationship, you are cursed. There's nothing good about it. Being a selfish person. Selfishness does what? To think of you. Or for me to think just of me. For me to think of me and not think of Kim. For me to think of me and cheat on Kim. I'm cursed of God if I do that. Did you hear me? Yes or no? Cursed of God. You can paint it anyway. You can blame it anyway. But you're cursed of God if you're selfish. Did we hear that today? Now listen, guys, this is preaching to me too. Don't just think I'm up here doing this. I was slammed in my office, won a Raj. Lord hammered me. So selfishness silences love. But wait a minute, look at this though. Look, cheerfully, say it with me, cheerfully giving of yourself and your, does what? Yeah. That's why we say it, fellowship. Guys, some things I say, I don't even know why I say them. I look back years later and go, wow, that was good. And that's one of the good things that I've said around here for a long time. If you can't give cheerfully, what? Because if you're not giving cheerfully, listen, it's not expressing love. But when you give cheerfully to the Lord and generously to the Lord, you're expressing love to the Lord. That's what you're doing. That's a beautiful thing. When you do that inside relationship, when you cheerfully give to the person you love, of yourself first, and then your resources, you give to them. It's beautiful to buy them something or to take them somewhere, to dinner, just to love on them a little bit. Wow, that's a blessing, isn't it? Say, come on. So that's what we've been talking about today. Let's look at how this scripture ends. God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not what? Open you the windows of heaven. I'll pour you out of what? That there shall not be what? Room enough to receive it. I'll rebuke the devil or the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 12. And all what? Shall call you what? For you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. Now I'm done. But let's look at what happens when I'm not selfish. With God, what happens when I'm not selfish in my relationships with Kim, with my kids, with my friends? Look at the blessing. Watch. God will bless me. But see, selfishness steals. Selfishness says, I've got to do for me first or I ain't going to have anything. When the opposite is true, when I'm unselfish, that's when I get the blessing. Amen? So God blesses me. Number two, the devil is rebuked. How many relationships would be better today, 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 if both people stopped being selfish? Would the relationship immediately be like, whoa, that's a lot better than the last time I saw him? You know why? Because the devil is rebuked. The devil is having a heyday when we're selfish. He's being glorified. That's why God is so angry. That's why He uses such tough language. He says, look, listen, I love you, I love you, I love you, yet you are glorifying the devil. And I ain't putting up with it, God says. These things, wow, they're huge. No wonder healing can come in relationships. We can have tremendous healing in relationship. And it's really not that hard, is it? It's really not that hard, guys. God's given us the answer. So when I'm unselfish, look at this. When I'm unselfish, look at the last thing that He says. When I give, listen, I will be what? And not just happy. Look at that last part. And others will what? And what? And know it. But see, when you're selfish, you have to tell everybody what you give. Because they don't see it and know it. But when you're unselfish and you give, it's amazing. People will go, wow, you're so happy. Other people are going to know you're blessed. Did you hear me or not? It's the truth. This is truth. I'm no great example, but I will tell you this. There's not a day that passes that somebody doesn't tell me, Pastor, you look so happy. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of days they couldn't have said that. But I have people come up to me now. How many of you ever said it to me in this room? You've said it to me before, yourself personally. Look, I got several of you in the room that have said that to me. You look so happy. Jackie, you came to me this morning. Hadn't seen you in a while. And Jackie, first thing out of your mouth to me, you look so happy. She was a student of mine years ago. Well, I can honestly say that I'm in a relationship where I'm not being selfish. Do you hear me? And Kim's not being selfish, but there's giving. Amen. Say. Now, we have to still work at that. No, we've got to stay with this, right? Did I lose some of you? A little too personal? Just be happy for the preacher. Amen. Come on. Here we go. No quit in love. Amen. Confronting neglect. Did we confront some neglect today and some laziness today and some selfishness today? That's what we did today. Listen, we're done with the message. Love. You express it or you what? Did we hear it today? Let's praise the Lord for His Word today. A little different, but we thank Him for it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now listen, can you hear this? Where are you at today? God loves you. God loves you. Have you silenced God's love? Can you hear this? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can you hear that? Can you hear that God loves you? That's the message that God screams at us. Amen. I love you, says the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for being here today. Hang in here with me if you can. Don't run out on me. We like to pray and we like to be respectful to the Lord. You might understand why I close the service the way we do, with respect, when you read scriptures like this. The Lord expects us to respect Him. Anytime the Lord thinks a roast matters more than Him, He ain't happy. Amen. Come on. Let's you go to work. I understand that. But otherwise, let's stay put. Father, thank You for being good to us today. Thank You for Your Word. Father, I want to personally thank You for Your Word. I want to personally thank You for showing me this ancient book of Malachi in a new, fresh way by Your Spirit. Thank You for invading my mind and my heart and letting me see for Gary Clark what I need to see for me in this book. And God, I pray as I've been preaching and sharing, I pray that others will know by Your Spirit if this is for them. If this is if they're seeing it the way I'm seeing it, God. This is how You showed me. And from Your Word, Lord. And I just pray it'll fall on good ground today. I pray it'll find good soil in the hearts of the folk here at Fellowship Church. Lord, as it goes on the radio, I pray it'll do well, Lord. I pray people will be strengthened in relationship with You and in relationship with others. Bless this time, we pray, Lord, as we just contemplate what has been said for the next few moments. And we worship You in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Change my heart, O God. Would you sing?